Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, I wish I could sing it. Together on our knees. To the rising sun. Have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Go ahead and take it back to the beginning. Get that right there off. Yeah. Make sure this. Just forget about it. Yeah, there you go. And get that off. Yeah, okay, that's good. But start at the beginning. And that'll be your outro. Ladies and gentlemen, outro. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, family, friends and foes, and everybody gathered around for communion, which was supposed to be earlier today, but I think I can do some things, and sometimes I can't as I used to. There have been many days, by the grace of God, I could preach back to back. I find myself now thinking I can, but I have to take a break. I have to take some rest. What a beautiful song. Let us break bread together on our knees, as you just heard. At this time, brothers and sisters in Christ, for you're the only ones who can take communion. Those of you who are born again and saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made whiter than snow, in the precious blood of Christ, and who have confessed your sins and who have repented of their sins, and whose heart is right with the Lord, and you're living a consistent life of obedience. What made the preaching of Charles Stanley so powerful? It was the fact that he understood the connection between salvation and loving the Lord back and obedience to the Lord, which many preachers today do not understand. Many preachers and many people in the church therefore believe that once they say they have believed in Christ, they can do what they want. God has something to say about that. Jesus Christ has something to say about it. The Holy Ghost of God has something to say about it. Always remember, the name of God's Spirit is Holy, the Holy Spirit, yea, the Holy Ghost. The old saints, the old black saints, they grabbed hold of the Holy Ghost for some reason. But it's the same. The Holy Spirit is just as real as God, just as real as Jesus Christ, just as real as you're looking at me. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Holy Ghost of God. They all have something to say about that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching, and that kind of thinking is not biblical thinking, is not godly thinking. You must understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Once you truly believe in Him, that is a commitment that's understood universally. You cannot tell me you don't understand it unless you were raised in the jungle and not hearing the gospel, not hearing the word at all for generations or something like that. But even then, you have a conscience. Because the reason why you won't get saved in America is because, as Jesus Christ said, you love darkness more than you love light. You love your sneaking around. You love your whoring around. You love your whoremongering around, and you have no intentions on repenting of it. You love your homosexuality and your sodomy and your lesbianism too much. You're not willing to give that up, but why are you even thinking about giving that up? Because you know that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have enough sense to know that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, changes have to happen. For Jesus Christ said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so I have joined Dr. Charles Stanley, most of all. I have joined God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit a long time ago in understanding and preaching that there's no such thing as believing in Christ and not repenting of your sins, not being under conviction of your sins, not being under God's chastisement when you refuse to confess your sins and repent of your sins. And how that you are to love Jesus Christ so much you're willing to confess your sins and repent of your sins and obey Him on a consistent basis. And understand that you confess your sins, you judge yourself, as we're getting ready to read, so that you will not be judged. You take advantage of the space that God gives you to repent, and if you don't do that, God will show up in your life in no uncertain way and start chastising you and dealing with you and making you a very miserable person. If you don't confess your sins and repent of your sins yourself, He'll help you as your Heavenly Father. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've said it to you many times, and I'm going to say it again to you. Do not play with God. He is nobody to play with. You may think so because He's so loving and so gracious and so merciful and so long-suffering. But that's a very foolish thing, to play with God, or play with Jesus Christ, or play with the Holy Ghost. The Trinity does not play. You think they play, but they don't play. And they can show you better than they can tell you, for most people. So if you have not, if you claim to be a Christian, we're not talking about church membership. We're not talking about speaking in some unknown tongue. We're not talking about the fact that you got baptized. That has nothing to do with your salvation. You can do all of those things and still die and go to hell, and you're speaking more tongues than that in hell. And there will not be any water to get baptized in hell. And so you can do all of those things and still die and go to hell. Doing religious work, religious things, so-called serving the Lord in church, being a deacon, being an usher, singing in the choir, none of those things can save you. Your religious activity cannot save your soul from hell. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing His gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, not His, was buried and rose on the third day to save your soul from hell. That's the good news. The bad news is, bad news number one, you are a wicked, evil, ungodly low down, no good sinner. Pardon me, capable of doing anything. We all are. We all have sinned against God. The Holy Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how pretty somebody is. I don't care how handsome somebody is. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care if they have a yacht and a boat. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I don't care what kind of house they live in. I don't care how many degrees they have. We all have sinned against God. For the Bible, the Holy Bible, there's that word holy again, says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have told lies, have stolen things, have lusted after people and things in our hearts, have dishonored and disobeyed our parents, dishonored and disobeyed God. Many have committed these sins of fornication, sexual sins, adultery, masturbation, homosexuality, and many other sins. We all have committed before God Almighty repeatedly. But you need to understand, nobody gets away with sin. Either you're going to pay for your sins in the burning hell, or you are going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who already paid for your sins. Bad news number two is the fact that you're going to die. You're going to die, and you're going to die because of your sins. The Bible says the wages, the payment, the paycheck that you will receive is death because of your sins. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. This is straightforward. Again, God does not play. Jesus Christ does not play. Don't you play. You must understand that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him, the Bible tells us. But if you didn't get the rod of correction, if you didn't have a parent who had enough sense to chastise you and rebuke you, and many of us did not have that, then you still have foolishness bound in your heart as an adult. And many people who know you and know many other people can testify to that fact, that there are grown people who have foolishness bound in their heart, and they think they can play with God. But it's a dangerous thing to play with God. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because God does not play. God is very merciful. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. And God is loving. But he is holy. And you must understand that about him. Because now, today, you are... You have seen and witnessed the love and mercy of God, but you also have seen and witnessed the severity of God. God is the one who brought about the coronavirus plague. It's no happenstance that the governments of the world reported to WHO, the World Health Organization, and we know that they're lying. Over 20 million people died from this plague. That's on the level of the bubonic plague. That's on the level of the plagues of Egypt. And what you don't realize is that it's not just one plague. God, if you're having a hard time in hearing God, He does a series of plagues. He brings about a series of plagues. And that's what He's doing right now. Because of sin. And many people have died. In fact, one of the reasons why many people in the church died is because they took this communion and did not take it seriously. God does not play. Jesus Christ does not play. And evidently God can show you better than He can tell you, because God is the one who killed over 20 million people, most of them in the church, for giving communion and taking communion, and then denying communion for other people while they're doing the same evil sins and wickedness. Bad news number three, you're going to hell. As sure as you're looking at me, one day you will be in hell, burning in hell. Oh, you think this heat is bad? You think this is bad? This is 20 below zero compared to the heat in hell. Constant heat because of the constant burning and tormenting, screaming and hollering in pain in the burning hell that Jesus Christ preached on more than all the prophets, that Jesus Christ preached on more than all of the apostles, that Jesus Christ preached on more than He did about heaven. Why did He preach on hell so much? Because He hates us? No, but because He loves us. And He understands human nature better than we do, because He created us. We respond more to fear than to loving kind words and getting gifts and things. We're so wicked, we have a tendency to run over people who do that. So Jesus Christ preached on hell more than all of the preachers in the Bible. And every time, almost every time He preached on it, he preached on the burning hell. He said that in hell, the fire shall never be quenched. That means it shall never be put out. Okay? So you say, well, I don't believe that. Your unbelief does not matter. Your unbelief of these facts that I'm telling you about don't make any difference. It's mighty interesting. You can agree with all of the good things that Jesus Christ said. Like, ask and ye shall receive. Love one another. But when He preaches on hell, you have a hard time believing that. If I were you, I would believe it. And I would respond to it this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved from hell. Now, I gave you 3 points of bad news. Now, I hope that you can appreciate and understand the good news. For Jesus Christ to preach the good news, I'm sure you will not have a problem believing this, or at least believing He said it and meant it. For Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. Shakespeare can't touch it. Milton can't touch it. Socrates can't touch it. None of the great thinkers can touch these words. None of the great orators can touch it. For Jesus Christ said one night, to an audience of one. And I don't know, but I believe He's the one who wrote it down when He went back to His house. He said it to Nicodemus one night. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Could it be that Nicodemus heard that, these profound words, put two and two together? The Passover Lamb of God, now John the Baptist calls him the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And then he's going to say, for God so loved the world, not only the Jews, red, yellow, black, and white, all the precious in his sight, for God, Jesus Christ, coming from heaven, said, God gave me this message for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Could it be that Nicodemus got saved that night? Could it be that Nicodemus was the one who went back and wrote it down, because Jesus Christ didn't do any writing? He just did the preaching. Could it be? I don't know. As far as we know, it was an audience of one. We know that Nicodemus became a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. Probably did the research and came to the conclusion that he is the Son of God and the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. All I know is he was at the cross. He helped take him down off the cross and helped bury him. He might have been a Secret Service Christian, but he came out that day and took care of business for the glory of God and for the Son of God, his Savior. The question is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, why not? And whatever the reason is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, to pay your sin debt. He is the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God for the entire world, Jews and Gentiles. Red, yellow, black, and white, because we're all precious in God's sight. He died for you and for me. Believe in him today, for he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is, perish in hell, by the way, but have everlasting life in heaven. Stop playing with God. Stop playing with your own soul, because that's what you're truly doing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is nobody to play with. Take it seriously. Take communion seriously. If you are saved and born again, confess your sins before you take communion. Repent of your sins. God told you that he'll cause you to get sick and die. Over 20 million, I think it's more like 40 million, got sick and died. Many millions of those people were in the church. Pastors, bishops, priests, preachers, nuns, people in leadership, so-called, in the church, died for playing church. Giving communion, taking communion, living in sin, and you never believed what we're getting ready to read. So get your heart right with the Lord, and get your house in order with the Lord. And for those of you who are not born again and saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul tonight, and he will save you. I'll be more than happy to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If God can save me some 43 years ago when I was not looking for God, hated preachers, and had cursed and swore multiple times that I would never be a preacher like my dad, I have witnesses who heard me say that. I have witnesses who heard me say I was going to drive the bus to hell. So if God can save me, He can save you. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He will save you. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a wicked, evil, and ungodly sinner. For I have done many evil and ungodly things in your sight, as you know. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit, for I believe in you by faith. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle permanently and follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. And now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ on this communion night, and you prayed and asked him to save your soul, and you were sincere in your request, according to the words of Jesus Christ, according to the words of God Almighty, according to the Word of God, you are now saved tonight, right where you are. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. I got saved in an Air Force dorm room. I did not get saved in the church. The truth of the matter is, I got saved in spite of most churches that I was raised in, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. And I really appreciate my salvation through Christ, because I could have died and gone to hell and didn't even know why. I believe with all of my heart, many people are in hell tonight and they don't even know why. Meaning, no one ever told them how to get saved. Nobody ever warned them about the burning hell and how to get saved from it. That's why I preach it every day. That's why I preach it in every sermon. And so, dear friend, to help you grow in the faith, first let me say congratulations for doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking Him to save you. So congratulations. Now I want to help you to grow in the faith. I want you to go get your free book at gospellightsociety.com and just look for the book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. And you just entered in by believing in Him. And read that little book based upon the Bible that will give you the next steps you need to take in order to help you to grow in the faith. It is the on-ramp book, if you will, that will lead you to the highway of serving the Lord in earnest. And what will help speed you up on that journey, on that same site, right at the middle of the site, you will see some podcasts that are populating. Tap on the podcast button at the bottom, and it will take you to literally thousands of podcasts that I have done and some others who have helped me. My children have helped me. I do. And they deal with nearly 50 different subjects to help you grow in the faith. Listen and learn. That's all you have to do. Open your Bible on the podcast when I tell you to open your Bible. Open your Bible, read it for yourself, and grow thereby. Also, email us and let us know that you got saved, that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or gls@gospellightsociety.com. Let us know. And if you have any prayer requests, send your prayer requests or questions to those same emails, and I will get them and pray with you and pray for you. If you were in the earlier service, I thank the Lord so much that my youngest daughter, Danielle Elizabeth, sent new and updated prayer requests. We have been doing this together, all of my children and I, for many years. And we have literally prayed for thousands of folks all around the world. And we have seen God answer thousands of prayer requests. We have, if you will, regular customers asking us to pray for them because they have felt the impact of God hearing and answering our prayers together and bringing down and pouring down blessings upon us. So if you want a special blessing in your life, you have a special need, send that in and let us know, and we will pray for you as well. Now, dear friends, now that you're good and saved and born again, and now that those of you who were already saved have confessed your sins and you understand the importance of taking God seriously, let me tell you something. If you never take anybody else or anything else seriously, I urge you to take God very, very seriously and take Jesus Christ very seriously. They're the ultimate in seriousness. In fact, they want us to be serious. They have urged us to be serious about these things and not take them lightly. On the same night in which Jesus, he was betrayed by Judas, that is, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace and mercy as you have invited us to boldly come. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we thank you for allowing your holy body to be broken for our sins, our failures, our faults, and our weaknesses. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us all. Forgive us all of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Wash and cleanse our souls, our hearts and our minds, our consciences and our spirits, in the holy and precious blood of Christ, of all sin. Help us to truly repent of our sins. Help us to take you seriously and be serious-minded. As we remember you in communion, in Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. John chapter 6 verse 58 says, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Take and eat." Put it over there, all the way over there. Jesus Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now only Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, can make a statement like that. Allow me to repeat it in your hearing. For in the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. In just those few words, Jesus talked about his death that he was going to do for us and allow in his life for us, that he was going to die for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And at the same time, in just a few words, he talked about his second coming. So this is not only about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and remembrance of Jesus Christ in his life and his death, but it's about also remembering and thinking about his second coming as well. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I praise you and I thank you for your holy and precious blood that was sacrificed for me and for millions of others because of our sins oftentimes ignorant sins, failures, and faults. Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, have continued mercy and grace upon us. Please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for shedding your holy blood on the cross for our sins. Thank you for allowing yourself to be buried, and thank you for rising again to redeem our wretched, undeserving souls. What love is this? What mercy is this? What grace is this? Lord, I just give you the glory, praise, and honor for it, because I do not know. I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Take and drink. After they had finished the first supper, they sang a hymn and went out into the night. Now, as we close this service, let us at least hear and sing "A Fountain Filled with Blood, Drawn from Emmanuel's Veins." Go ahead and hit the other one. My musician, my wife, Marika White. The devil is using her to try to mess up. The last song. But that's all right. I thank God for the beautiful communion service. And even though there are songs better than other ones, better than others, this one will do. "He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan lead me." Oh, I wish I could sing it. "He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. God bless you, my friends. Until next time, remember, pray without ceasing. Read the Word of God every day. Don't miss a day. There's no reason for a Christian not to pray and read the Bible every day. And God will make a difference, a huge difference in your life. If you would pray the Bible, pray over the Bible, and pray with whoever's in your home first thing in the morning, and read the Bible, I guarantee you your day will be different if you're saved and if you're born again. Meditate on the Word of God. Sing a hymn every day. Don't wait for Sunday. Don't wait for Wednesday. Don't wait for Saturday. Every day, have church in the house. And I guarantee you the best church ever that you will ever have, because you're not out there showboating, is at the house. And so remember the motto of the Marines. Since you are a Christian, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Super Semper, Semper Supra, rather, always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed upon the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. I want to thank you so much for joining me for communion tonight. Thank you for your patience. I thank the Lord for all of you who just, as soon as you see me pop up, you pop up. And you know, I'm an old man now, having preached for over 7 years, every day, nearly every day, by the grace of God. And I appreciate you still showing up and being with us. God bless you, my dear friends. Have a great week in the Lord. If the Lord tarries his coming and we all live, I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget the fast, starting at 12 o'clock tonight. God bless you, my friends. Until next time, pray for me as I pray for thee.